They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the Mic.
Moody on the Mic back for another week. The carnival is over, as the Seekers once sang. Well, I suppose the official end of the spring carnival, but it's a Cranbourne Cup meeting this weekend. It's sort of a slow crawl now through till next year. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as they always do, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, and the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Moods, you are in New Zealand. We've dragged you away from the ready-to-run sales to join us for the penultimate Moody on the Mic of 2023, and you bought one over there today with Wiley Dalziel. We better let you give it a plug because, you know, the best way to, if you want to have a runner with Moods, the best way to do it is via Dalziel Racing, unless you've got a shitload of money. So give us a plug. What do they need to do to get in on this one you bought today and tell us a bit about it?
It's great to be back, boys. It's great to be back. It's not all about Moods. I'm a welcoming person. No, it's not. No, well, we've got Mytho, we've got Rain Man, we've got you, Rog. But we bought a little Super Seth Gelding for Wiley Dalziel this afternoon at New Zealand Breeze Up. So, any interest there?
Couldn't find a nice horse in Australia.
We buy a lot of horses in Australia, Mytho. I think we inspected a few at your farm earlier this week with the potential to probably do something there. So, exactly. So, we bought a Super Seth, first season sire, going okay. Gelding, ready to go on with. So, the market was quite good here today, but. We're not a bloodstock show. We're a racing show. We're a punting show. Have a look at Rain Man. Like, we could have been talking about something born on Mars. He wouldn't care as long as it had four legs and mane the tail. It could run and he could frame a market. And I tell you what, our Rain Man has grown up. He's now a father, multiple father. He's got those big googly glasses on. But have a look at the face, team. I just wish you could sit back and watch us. He has developed facial hair. Our little Thomas Hackett has grown up, and it's just beautiful to see.
Moods is in New Zealand. He's a couple hours behind us in time. He's been to a horse sale. I'm sure he's been wined and dined and fed and wetted. And I'm just getting a bit of a sense that he's got a bit of up and about him today. And Tommy, you write a reply on the. You look like a bit of a rat peering over a broom to me.
Yeah, I'm actually on holidays. I've taken time out of my holidays to join you three for an episode of Moody on the Mic. But I like to let the beard grow out, well, mainly the moustache, really, grow out while I'm on holidays. Normally, I've got the clean-cut professional look. Unlike the rest of you, I've got a real job. I've got to go into an office and be around other people. I don't get to go around fancy horse sales and doing whatever it is Roger does. So I normally have a professional appearance, but I'm letting myself relax a little bit on holiday. So I'm looking forward to getting into the show as well. Ladbrokes Cranbourne Cup this weekend. Mytho's sponsoring a race as well. Moods has got a runner in the cup. Mytho's got a runner in the Apache Cat Classic. We're dominating Cranbourne on Saturday.
Mate, quality TV programming, Tom, but that certainly doesn't include this show. I'm glad we're doing this before the shower for you too, Rayman, because then that little facial hair probably wash off in the shower. So it's good that we're getting it in before that time of day.
Before we move forward, though, we've got to go back because there's a little bit to unpack from last weekend, given that, Moods couldn't tip his hat, but he goes to a little place called Dunkeld, and tips winner. Gets winner, trains winner, owns winner after winner at little old Dunkeld. And where was the mention of it in the podcast? Hey, punters, just be aware, fields aren't out, but just have a look at mine and follow me at the great picnic meeting at Dunkeld in the foot of the Grampians on Saturday. No mention of it for our punters. No love for the podcast listeners. And it further enhances my chances in 2024 of having the podcast named after me.
No, I wouldn't think that would be the case, Mytho, because the punters have had an absolute fill-up on my best bets throughout this current season of Moody on the Mic.
And self-praise is?
Worth 5/8 of fuck all. But they have had an absolute fill-up. And when we did the show last Wednesday, we didn't have the feels for Dunkeld. I wasn't committing. I wasn't wanting to lead people down a garden path. And I think I tipped one of your horses that you probably part-owned last week. But I think Rain Man would have the tally there because we know he's a facts and figures man. Maybe not at his fingertips because he's on holidays. but I would think the score is probably about 20 to me and about one to you.
I can confirm Moods is comfortably leading the best bets tally this season. It's basically the same as last year. Moods comfortably in front. I'm second. Roger's third. Mytho a long, long last.
Yeah, but you're only as good as your last week. And you had a couple of winners at Dunkeld that would have been vital at the end of a long spring campaign where any winner was just worth its gold, Rog, wouldn't you have said? Or did you get the inside saloon set of tips? Did you, Rog?
I noticed on Instagram when I saw the Moody Racing spruik that they had two wins at Dunkeld, and I thought the same thing, Anthony. I thought, well, thank you very much, Peter. Although I dare say that my account has done fairly well out of Moody Racing over the journey. So I can't complain too much. Hey, it was actually a good meet last weekend at Caulfield, the 1,000 Guineas, the Sir Rupert Clark. The Sydney form held up there, but now it's sort of been run and won. First, we'll go Merge to you, and then Rayman, from your perspectives as trainer analyst, are we happy with the shift to the back end of spring? It seemed to work well. Crowd wasn't raging, but I'd imagine turnover was well up. But did you think from a trainer's point of view, Moods, are you happy to see that 1,000 Guineas Rupert Clark meeting at the back end of spring now?
Well, it's going to create a different niche, and I think the quality of the field was pretty good there on Saturday. I think the form out of it will hold up. We've seen Kamichi run well consistently throughout the spring and run seconds and thirds, ran second. Jolly Star, the winner, looks a filly on the up for the Waller stable. So I think there's no issues there. And we saw Graeme Beggs' filly win the Rupert Clark, which I wasn't quite sure of because I didn't know enough about her, and she was dominant, but she's been competitive all the way through. So I think we'll see the form hold up out of that meeting. The betting side of it, I'm not sure. But, you know, first year, people will need to get used to it, and I think it'll continue to grow. But no issues from a training perspective, no.
I think from a punting standpoint, and just as at the overall industry, I think it's worked out quite well as well. I was a little bit skeptical when it was first announced earlier this year, but I think it's worked really well. I think we have the big week of Cup Week where you've got more casual racing interest in racing than you do basically any other time of year. And then basically say, okay, spring carnival's over. Let's start the circuit around for the provincial cups. But I think it makes sense to follow up Cup Week, our biggest week, with another feature Group 1 meeting. And I think that they've probably picked the two right races. I don't think the move of the 1,000 Guineas weakened the Oaks or any other races. And I think the Sir Rupert Clark is one of those races where you could hold it basically any part of the calendar. And the quality of the field is probably unlikely to change. So I think it's been a winner. And I think we're sort of, as a punter and as a racing enthusiast, I think we're lucky now is that there's not much off period in the racing calendar anymore because Sydney's sort of gone further. Now Melbourne's going further into the summer. You've got Brisbane have enhanced their summer racing carnival quite substantially. Then we roll. So once you get through spring, you get through Perth, Brisbane summer's here, then you're at Magic Millions, then it's time to go back to Melbourne for the autumn. So I think we're quite blessed at the moment as racing fans that we do get quality racing basically all year round.
And the VRC I see today is plumping that they want another meet at this end of spring. So you'd see the 1,000 Guineas and maybe another meet at Flemington and then the Zipping Classic weekend. And so three more real genuine metro meetings before you go into that Country Cup circuit. And by that stage, you're in December, Mytho, and then you go on to the country and, as Rayman said, onto Millions and then back to Melbourne for the autumn.
I was just way... I haven't really got an opinion because I was just way too focused on the gong.
Have you got a runner? You only like pop-up races when you got a runner.
Only when I've got a runner, Rog. Only when I've got a runner.
Ah, dearie me. On a bit more of a downer, though, Moods, Chain of Lightning was a long last, seemingly with an issue out of that Rupert Clark. Have you got an update for us on her?
Yeah, Chain of Lightning's pulled up well. She actually got galloped on, but thankfully it was only quite superficial in the early parts of the straight there at Caulfield on Saturday, and Billy Egan rightfully eased her from the contest, and... But she had a few superficial wounds, but he thought it might have been more severe, and she has come out of it well. So there's some chance she might be seen in the Kevin Heffernan at Caulfield Saturday week, all being well, and if there's a possibility that might be a little bit more juice in the ground. So that was probably one of the talking points out of Caulfield. Let's not dance around the elephant in the room. Track bias on pace, near fence. I know the Rupert Clark winner came down the centre at a rate of knots, Graeme Beggs' filly. But the tempo was very solid there. But outside of that, it was considered that you had to be fence on pace. And I see Melbourne Racing Club and track manager Tim Bailey have suggested that maybe there was an error there. They put the rail back into the true after racing out on Caulfield Cup Day and probably created a bit of a lane there. So they will look to rectify that next year, but probably didn't help the punters hit pockets last Saturday.
And moves on and just on a different note, and I know the answer to this one in terms of what happened, but disappointing news from your stable last week. I read it yesterday. Invincible Caviar, unfortunately, suffered an issue, a fatal issue, and we sadly lost her. And she did appear to be the most promising of the Black Caviar progeny.
Yeah, she did, unfortunately. She suffered an incident in the swimming pool at Pakenham last Friday, and looks like she sort of suffered a medical episode. We're not sure whether it may be an aneurysm or a heart attack of some kind. And whilst swimming, which is a regular part of her exercise program, the most promising daughter of Black Caviar had a fatal circumstance come about in the swimming pool. So we've lost her, which is very disappointing. Well-bred I'm Invincible filly out of the Great Mare. So she was a multiple city winning mare. And very disappointing for all concerned. But on a positive note, on the same, very happy to report that Persian Caviar, her younger sister by Written Tycoon, the two-year-old filly, arrived some 24 hours later, unfortunately, just after the demise of her older sister. So let's hope she can do the family proud going forward.
Does she look like her mum, like Invincible Caviar did?
She actually looks a much more similar mole to a mother than any of the other foals. I wouldn't say as distinct as Invincible Caviar, but very much in a similar mole to a mother.
Well, we'll try and lift the spirits after the break and try and find a few winners. And even Mytho might be able to find a winner because he's got the favourite in one of the races we're going to look at.
Ooh, race seven's about to jump. What do we reckon, lads?
A guy in the community says he's keen on the roughie.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is I'm a real big stats guy.
Say no more.
Connect, banter and follow tips with a community of like-minded punters only in Ladbrokes Communities. Ladbroke it! T's and C's apply and available on website. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Let's kick off our preview. Three races today. We're going to start with a Group 1 over in the West. Rayman, first of all, give us the market and then give us your thoughts.
The Railway Stakes, the first Group 1 of the Pinnacles in WA. It's a very competitive betting race, as it so often is. Tuvalu for Lindsay Smith is the favourite, $4.60. Alice Pina for Grant Williams and Alana Williams and William Pike, the trio back together, $4.80. Roots for Chris Waller, $5. And you've got double figures the rest of the field here. As you tend for the Railway Stakes just about every year, you can make a case for pretty much the majority of the field. The horse that appeals to me from a value betting standpoint is Forgot You. He's drawn barrier 19, so he's going to need a little bit of luck in running. But I think $16 to win, $4.80 the place is well and truly over the odds. He was a good winner on Melbourne Cup Day in the listed race there. Before that, he ran well when the race wasn't run to suit him in the Jarray Cup at the Valley during the Cox Plate Carnival. And he's just been going along quite nicely, this preparation. Trent Buston and Natalie Young, their stable's absolutely flying at the moment. And I think if he does get even luck in running here, he can be in the mix at a big price. So in a really open race, I'm backing Forgot You at the $16 with Ladbrokes.
Rayman is a hell of an analyst. Reading Noddy's strong points. So for those who are confused, first of all, Tuvalu, not Tuvalu. And second of all, it's Elsafina, not Alice Pina. That's as bad as Moods with Longtivity. But anyway, I agree. I thought if you got you, I had it marked as a really big chance, but the barrier draw just scared me a bit. So I'm not putting a line through if you got you, but I certainly haven't got it on top with barrier 19. There, Tuvalu, been there in tough group ones before, deserve a top weight, second favouritism, but I'm going with the X Factor, and I'm clearly a chance to get burned here. But the current star of WA racing with the Millie's Jewel over in the East, Elsafina for Grant and Alana Williams. Look, she's been second both her runs this prep. She meets Maricino significantly worse at the weights than last start when he beat her, but she gets better the deeper she goes into her preps, and 1600 metres looks the ideal trip for her. 53 kilos on her black. She'll still need to be at her absolute best, but I think I'm happy to be with her at around $4.80. So Elsafina for mine.
I'm with you there, Rog, and I thought too that I've found one here that Rainman doesn't have in the market. Al Safina just couldn't say the name. That was what became evident. Also, the other factor to bear in mind, punters, is that 38, 39 degrees tipped over in the west for Saturday. So there'll be all sorts of wet bulb action going on track, I reckon. And we all know what that means, Moods. When the wet bulb comes out, anything could happen, couldn't it?
Well, things get very wet. And we know what happens when things get very wet. You slip and slide and you could end up in anywhere.
Yeah. And, they might just have to call it all off. But anyway, else.
Well, actually, Mitho, they actually have pushed it back. In all seriousness, they pushed it back a couple of hours because of the heat. So if you're over in the east, you're probably going to have tipped a fair few in by the time this one goes to air.
Yeah, and the thing that you'll need to remember here, if you've tipped a few in and you just can't scratch yourself, Elsa has never missed a place in her career. She's 13 starts for 9 wins, 4 placings. She's a bet to nothing with Willie Pike on, drawn well. As you say, she's the sort of the second coming over there in the West behind Amelia's Jewel. And at $4.80 and $2.05, you can bet up each way as much as you like. And bet irresponsibly, punters. Just really have a lash when you've tipped a heap in and you're just looking to get out of trouble.
Go the views of Anthony Mithen do not reflect the views of the rest of the members of this podcast, nor of the Ladbrokes Entain Corporation.
Hard. I don't know Elsafina at all, but she's in her own fishbowl over there and her form looks very impressive. I'm going to Lindsay Smith, a great homecoming for the former great Western Australian trainer, Lindsay Smith, Jamie Carr back in tip-top form, Barrier 4, Tuvalu. I think he's the one to beat. And I'm just talking through the horses that I know. I think he's the best of the Eastern Staters. Lindsay's had a lot of experience with warm weather over there in the West over his career. I think he'll have this horse there in great shape. But great respect for Elsafina, but not knowing the level of the form around her. But so 1 from 7 for me.
I dare say the greatest horse ever to come out of Cranbourne was Apache Cat, and that's why the Apache Cat Classic is held at Cranbourne Cup meeting every year. Rayman, what is the market for the Apache Cat Classic? And then what is your thoughts on the race?
One of the great horses, Apache Cat. One of the bars in the Brisbane casino is actually named after Apache Cat, and it's a great bar as well. So if you're in Brisbane, you're looking for somewhere to watch the race on Saturday, I would suggest the Apache Cat bar at the old Brisbane casino, which is going to be finished for business in a few weeks. But anyway, we move on to the race.
Is there a Midwest video about that bar on the Ladbroke social media channels that you want to get in there?
Yeah, I might have to do one on my personal account. Okay, I might have to make a visit. That's a good idea, Rog. Midwest is the favourite here, $4.20. Generation Haunting, second line of betting at $5. Early market mover, Rich Fortune's been $11 into $6.50. For Jerome Hunter. We've got Jigsaw at $8. I've always been a fan of Midwest here, though, and I think this looks like a really nice race for the speedy gelding. He didn't win a race in his 2 race starts this prep, but you look at that form, it doesn't read too badly because first up, second behind Asfura, who went on to be one of the better, didn't win a Group 1, but was one of the better sprinters during the spring racing carnival. Really ran in Perry Trees quite close in the Moyer Stakes and then went on to win at Caulfield. So that form reads pretty well. We always know that his best form is over these short course sprints. He loves the 1,000 metres and even shorter. So I think it looks the ideal race for Midwest. $4.20, I think, is a good bet. In my opinion, he's one of the best bets of the day.
I agree. I love it when, I don't know how to frame the market to save my life, but I do like it when the horse that you like comes up favourite when the markets go up. And that's happened with both my selections in the Apache Cat and the Cranbourne Cup. I'm with Midwest, speed horse, 1,000 metre specialist, informed, stable, well-weighted, middling race. Looks like he's to lose for me. Good luck, Mitho.
Yeah, look, he's going well. He's trialled up well for this. He just had a little virus that just pulled him up through that 2-run prep, really, and a freshen has done him the world of good. And he'll come back when the heat's come out of the spring, which should really suit him here. He's I don't know what he rates, about 100, and that's about his measure. The other run of that 2-run prep, he finished second behind a couple of pretty handy horses in Vivianne and Rose Quartz, who we saw win a stakes race on Saturday at Caulfield. So, look, his form's stacking up. Fresh, he's had five goes. Only the one win, but he's always thereabouts. So he's ready for this, and you're getting a reasonable price about a speedy horse around Cranbourne that should lead him up control and let fast horses run fast. Pete, God give him strength.
Yes, yeah, no. Only problem I see for Midwest is there's a very another fast horse in it, long way back in grade in the top weight Jigsaw, the locally trained galloper by Cindy Alderson. I thought he's the one, the spanner in the works. Now, do we plump for the favourite Midwest or the very fast Jigsaw, or do you see these two tackling one another, and is there one that could get over the top of them? I'm not 100% sure there, so the old pineapple for me. I know it's the weak coward's way out. But I think the race just sets up a bit ugly for probably the two favoured two. And if they do tackle one another, it could make it a run-on race for something else. So just be mindful of that, punters.
The Cranbourne Cup. It's that time of the year again, Rayman. And, well, give us the market.
That's the Ladbrokes Cranbourne Cup, Roger. Another very open betting race. I actually thought this was the race Moods was going to throw the pineapple on, but then I remembered he's got Pounding there to give him a get-out-of-jail-free card. So Foxy Cleopatra is the favourite, $4.40 into $4. Euphoric for the local trainer, Grigorel, is $4.60. Just Folk, $6.50. Then at $11 into $10 is Pounding, looking for his first win this preparation. I did find this a tricky race, one of the toughest races of the day. But I think a horse that is heading in the right direction is Ascension. It's currently $9.50 with Ladbrokes. Was pretty tough the other day in the Seymour Cup. And I'm not sure this race is that much tougher. It gets a nice drop in weights there. Before that, won the Gold Nugget at Ballarat in really impressive fashion. The form coming out of that race has been quite good. So I think we sort of know where a lot of these horses are. And I think even though he's had 30 starts, Ascension, but I think he's probably racing in career best form, and probably compared to a few of these, probably still does have a little bit of upside. So in a really open race, I'm going to have something smaller, number four, Ascension, in the Ladbrokes Cranbourne Cup.
A steep drop back in trip from an Oaks at 2,500 to 1,400 metre race 2 days later, but G Foxy Cleopatra did it beautifully, and Dan near pinched it from Skew Whip, who then came out and ran very well in the Group 1 Rupert Clark last week. So that form stacks up here, and getting back to the mile, 54 kilos on her back. This progressive filly looks a very nice show in the Cranbourne Cup.
Fair call too, Rog. It'll probably be the saver. I'll be backing Pounding though. He's gone from being a winning machine last preparation in his about well, how many he had about 16 months in work and couldn't stop but win. And but to be fair, when you look back through his record, and I was just reminded of this while you were giving the market there, Rain Man, he kicked off in a Group 2 this preparation, Group 2 second up, Group 1, dropped back in grade to a listed race there where we thought he'd just go and bolt up at Flemington. And the race was just an absolute mess with a tearaway leader that mucked up any sort of pattern that we'd read. And unfortunately, the horse was just left a sitting shot. So I think he gets his chance here, Pounding. Drawn eight, if Luke can give him a good steer, get him some cover and let him be strong at the finish. I reckon he's the class runner.
Right, we'll move on to me. We've got Mytho's point there, Pounding. He's on top for Mytho. He's actually on top for me too. He pays the weight penalty there for his class. His grading has dropped a little bit, but I think with 59, he's probably well placed amongst most of these. I think from the 8 alley, he probably rolls forward. You've only got the dog leg turn from the mile there at Cranbourne. Probably sits in the first three or four, and I think he'll get his chance to run very, very well. So I'm sticking with Pounding.
Mytho, it was a shame you got cut off there. It actually it was an interactive listener vote, and they cut your internet. So
No, I understand that. I was prattling on, but I made my point.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with our best bets straight after.
Hey lads, a guy in the community says he's keen on the roughy in race 7.
Do we trust him?
Well, his username is Big Stats Guy.
Say no more.
Connect with a community of like-minded punters only in Ladbrokes Communities.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Chances are you're about to lose.
Before we get to our best bets, just a little note. Next week will be our final show of 2023, which you might have figured out when I said earlier this was our second last show of 2023. So we're going to take about, I'd imagine, 8 weeks off. And we usually come back, what, Rayman, first or second week of February in time for the big races in the autumn. I think that's the plan, is it not?
Yeah, we're not going to come back for the CF4 stakes. We'd like to come back in Magic Millions week, but Mytho and Moods are always very busy. Moods just gallivanting around, Mytho buying lots of horses and trying to be a big show off in that ring at Magic Millions. So I think we'll be back for the CF4, ready for another big year of Moody on the mic.
Which I think it will be our sixth year. So just a lot of longevity here on the Moody on the Mic podcast.
It's a juggernaut. It's an absolute juggernaut. They said we wouldn't last, and here we are.
And we'll put to death the rumour that it could be called Mytho on the Mic next year. It will continue on as Moody on the Mic.
Yeah, when we come back and it's just the three of us, we'll know for sure that it's definitely not going to be Mytho on the Mic.
No, we don't do that. I thought we were keeping that announcement for next week that we're booting Mytho, but maybe we give Mytho like a last hurrah.
I fudged up again. Damn it.
Don't let me loose knowing that I'm not ever coming back.
That's a good point, actually. And Mytho knows where the Moody on the Mic bodies are buried as well. We've got to keep him in the tent.
Mytho also forgets that this isn't live. Rayman, give us your best bet.
I'm going to Ascot with the WA Guineas for my best bet. Race 7 on Saturday. There's two clear favourites here, the fillies. The fillies have a very good record in the WA Guineas, but there's a little bit of a question mark over both these horses for mine. Super Spink was beaten the other day. I'm not convinced she's going to run out a strong 1,600 metres here. I think you can say the same thing about Kishai Boom for that Pike and Grand Alana Williams trio as well. So the horse I'm backing is the third line of betting, Zip Away, at $7.50. Started his preparation with two impressive wins. Last start got way back, was basically settled last, and Storm Home where it ran the closing sectionals of the race and just couldn't get there. But it was a really promising effort. Compared to the other two, I think he's going to relish the step up to 1,600 metres. He's drawn ideally from Barrier 4 with Stephen Parnham in the saddle, who, in my opinion, is the better of the Parnham brothers in WA. I think at $7.50, Zip Away is a really nice bet in the WA Guineas.
My best bet was scratch last week, which is good because I couldn't lose. This week, I'm going with my old mate, Miggy Blue Eyes Felgate, who's got a toenail and a nice-looking young stayer called Warmonger for the Price Kent Junior Yard. Only just the right side of even money, but I think you'll be right to get your day off to a nice start. Miggy Blue Eyes is actually in Japan and not going to be at Cranbourne, which is the reason I give it even more of a chance. So race one, number one at Cranbourne, Warmonger.
You're not in Japan. You weren't welcome back this year, Petey?
Didn't want me back on deck. No, it was a different group, different, which I respect.
Well, there's quite a bit of nude bathing in Japan, isn't there?
Well, it's funnily enough, though, that Moods actually did a piece for the TV show that me and Felgate work on together where Moods was in a sumo suit and showed his bare ass on television and may have had something to do with the fact that he's not there this year. Don't
know. Look, his nudity's got him in trouble on more than one occasion, and it's just coming back to haunt him time and time again. The tip for me, now this is interesting. I'm going to give the punters one here that I think is an absolute locked on moral. We're talking of owning a toenail. We only own the toenail of this horse, but it is a Rosemont special. It's in the Benchmark 88 at Kembla Grange on Saturday, race 6, number 1, Lock Eagle. He's an emergency for the gong, the time on a gong. Don't think he's going to get a run there. And exactly the same thing happened on Melbourne Cup Day, where it was an emergency for the little dance, didn't get a run, fronted up in a Benchmark 88, I reckon, again, and absolutely bolted in and has been doing nothing but impress Chris Lee since. He reckons he can win the gong if we get a run in that. Now, he probably won't because there won't be a scratching, or he needs two. He'll front up with Nashua Willer on in race 6 and give you an absolute fill-up punters at $3.10. So I'm just coming into my own late for Ladbrokes in giving out the best bets, and Lock Eagle is a rolled gold one.
I think it's been about, on 8 occasions, Mytho has tipped Lock Eagle, has never won the times he's tipped him, but then when it doesn't have the Mytho curse, he comes out and wins, because we didn't do a show in the lead-up to the Melbourne Cup, so he could run without having the pressure of being Mytho's best bet. So, unfortunately for Lock Eagle, he's not going to win this week anymore, but hopefully he has a few starts over the summer period while we're off air, and he'll get a few nice wins under the belt. So I agree that he's a nice horse. He's just got Mytho dragging him down.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Apologies to anyone there. If anyone has ever seen Naked Gun 33 and a third, where Leslie Nielsen leaves his microphone on while he's having a piss. that might have been what you heard. With Moon,
well, that was,
if I can't edit it out in post-production.
Well, listen, that was just a need to relieve oneself there, Rog. I needed to have a wee-wee while I was still live on air. And fortunate enough, in my hotel room here in New Zealand, the toilet was only about 5 strides away. So I'm not sure if the pissing on the porcelain or the flush gave it away. But as most of our good listeners would know, and our one listener from Nigeria, they would appreciate the fact that when all young boys are born... All young boys are born, your father taps you on the shoulder and says, son, the world is your toilet. So
on that note, give us your best bets, because
my best bets are pretty quiet weekend for the little boutique stable this weekend. Mooney Valley Friday night. We've got a nice filly called Miss Russia. I think she can run well there. I think in the last race, Rain Man, what price Miss Russia?
Last she is currently on you're getting a nice price here, Miss Russia. You're getting $18 to win, $4.80 the place.
I would have thought big overs there, Miss Russia team, so you could certainly have something, Miss Russia, with Tatum Bull in the saddle. Moving across to Cranman Cup Day, Pounding we've discussed. I think he's an excellent chance. What price Pounding? Is he each way odds?
$10 Pounding.
Oh, shite. Well, each way all day Pounding. Race 9, number 1, until the cows come home, team, because I want you to finish this season up on a fill-up. But I think ultimately I have two runners in race 10, number 4, He's Handsome, and number 14, Edith, resuming from a spell. Edith will need the gallop. But I think my best of the weekend is race 10, number 4, He's Handsome. What odds there, Rain Man?
Race 10, number 4, He's Handsome. Racing very consistently, the old fella. I'm just trying to get these odds up.
Good
now.
Vamping there, Rain Man. Good vamping.
Yeah, he is currently, race what, number what?
Oh, fair dinkum. You just wrote on, 10, yeah, you're on handsome. Holiday mode. You're on holiday mode, Rain Man. Race 10, number 4. Come on.
I went the other way. Race 10, number 4. He's currently $10, so another one at double figures.
Well, listen, I think, Moody on the mic, follow up, fill up whatever you like. Mooney Valley, the last race Friday night, Miss Russia, each way all up, Pounding in the Cranman Cup, $10, race 9, number 1. Into He's Handsome, race 10, number 4, each way. You've got three each way chances
just
to nothing.
Just
there,
a
team.
Nice little treble parlay. That's the way to play it.
Honestly. Yeah. So if I knew how to do it, I would probably.
1,800 to 1.
Is it?
Yeah, that's why you parlay it. Well,
$18 times 10.
I've got no idea. Well, listen, there you go, team. I hope you have a fill up. I hope you have a wonderful end of spring, early summer. A terrific, happy, safe, and healthy Christmas to you.
We've got
and
one
all.
More episode to go, Moons. We've got one more episode to
when?
Go. Save it for next week.
When?
We just said we've got next week's episode is going to be the last. We just
turn it up. I'm on holidays now. Well, next week I'll be on an aeroplane team, so we'll probably be on the Thursday, so you'll probably have to wait for that. But more importantly, listen, I want to come back and celebrate the fill-up that the punters are going to have on these each-way specials. And be guarded on Mytho's tip.
If they all win, I'm never doing the show ever again. Because I have won enough money to pay myself more than Ladbrokes could ever imagine.
Come on, come on,
come on, come on! God, give us strength. Be good, be healthy. Let fast horses run fast. Ladbroke it.